The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
There we go. Good afternoon. You're listening to We the People Radio. We have had a previous hour, so you should find that in the archives, because it'll be fun. You'll like it. You can always find us online, wethepeopleradio.us. You can find information on sponsorship and on previous shows and contact information. We'd love your ideas on who to have on. If you have an interesting topic, I've got a couple people to get back to. We've got some good stuff lined up for the end of the month. And what was the other thing? We air now in Philadelphia Mondays from 1 to 3 Eastern Time. We're live on the air Sundays from noon to 2 Pacific Time. So I think that's all the intel.
Yeah.
I'm Aaron. We have Bill.
Yeah, I'm Bill.
All the music comes from Bob, because we're not allowed to touch those buttons. For good reason.
Keep your hands to yourself.
Yeah, exactly. We're over on our side of the desk. So, all right, we have Kristen Rule and Ken Crandall with us on speakerphone there in Philadelphia, chatting with us about Kristen's current job, Ken's former job at the Philadelphia VA. Should we call it the embattled Philadelphia VA? What do you guys call it that's fit for radio?
That's what the Philadelphia Inquirer calls it, so sounds good.
I call it the gulag.
Down at the gulag. Is it getting crazier?
We think, yes, because right now we have so many managers that have stepped down for personal reasons or are on paid administrative leave and not there, that there's so many vacant positions that we don't really know who our leadership is. They've, in 30-day increments, some 60-day increments, have flown in people to run the place, but we don't really have any solid management there. There's this help team that they keep flying in to try and help Philadelphia recover from this. But it's kind of weird to work somewhere where you don't really know who your manager is on a month-to-month basis. Mm-hmm. Or your assistant managers.
I like that help team. That's so friendly.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, the managers that are there are still there, but they're not operating as managers, so they're still messing stuff up. Lower level?
Yeah, and some of them took positions that they've never had before, so I'm guessing they have to now pay for them to get training, because you can't just become a raider. One of our assistant managers stepped down and is going to be a raider. To be a raider, you need to go to training, extensive training, because you're raiding medical things, and this person doesn't have experience doing that I know of. So
for all those people who got their claim back at 10% and thought it should have been 50?
Exactly. And, you know, you get usually a month training to, you know, learn the basics of the job, and then there's on-the-job training. So these people are going and taking these jobs, and they have to probably be even retrained because they've been a manager for so long, they haven't had their hand in the claims.
And that's if they've been to college, even. Many of them haven't been to college.
Nice. So they came right over from, what, Winchell's Donuts, or what are we talking about here?
Baggers from grocery stores.
Oh, God, I was right.
I mean, the problem, I think, in the federal government is time and grade. So if you want someone to come in and run our building, they are going to be a GS-15. In order to apply for those jobs, you have to be a GS-14 for 1 year. So in order to get to a high enough place in the federal government, you have to put up with all this craziness for so long. And most people don't stick with it. They leave. So the people that do stick with it, you know, you're taking a chance at what you're going to get, because these people have worked here for a long time, and they probably are very connected, and they probably know a lot of people.
And a lot of the people who do the hiring, like Lena Giampa, her sister, who's a senior manager in the building, she's a supervisor. But one of the things I was doing in August of 2011 was I started reporting nepotism, and I think I was up to about 40-something cases, but nobody cares. And that's the root of the problem, is the nepotism in the building.
So you know, it's funny. That was one of the next things I was going to ask. You said you were reporting things on an almost daily basis, and I was going to ask you to give us some examples. So 40 different
And so so the one lady has her sister in there, and does she supervise her directly?
No, but we have people who are supervisors who are supervisors of their relatives.
I'm sure that works out well, so I'm sure there's a lot of accountability there. And that happens quite a bit. I know there is another government facility that handles hardware mostly, but tons of things. Husbands supervising wives, uncles supervising nephews, all that kind of stuff. So same thing.
Lucy Filipov was the acting director for a while, and she has two relatives that work in the building. So if you're the acting director, you supervise everybody in the building. So she was supervising two of her relatives. And the reason that we have such a hard time when we report this is because the law for nepotism says that the relative has to promote or hire or do the action. And the relative, like Lucy Filipov, is not going to promote her sister. HR is going to. So it's hard to prove that the nepotism, because the people doing the promoting are not the relatives. They're the human resource department. So legally, it's hard to prove.
Oh, my gosh. And so what other kind of stuff did you find, Ken?
Well, that was what I started with, and that's what I think when Kristen and I, what I learned after that was like the double payments, but that was largely Kristen's doing. And when they fired me the first time, that was on February 9th of 2012, I've been out of the building since then, but I started with the nepotism, but nobody cared.
Wow. And
we would report like things like mail disappearing, just any type of illegal activities we saw, we would report, and he would report them to a different place every day. We'd think, if these 20 Congress people aren't responding, let's write to 20 more. He had written to the White House, the Undersecretary, the Secretary. I mean, we had written to everybody in the country, and the only time we got really anyone to listen to us was when the Inspector General came in.
And so you would report to the Office of Special Counsel, right?
Yeah, but that's only there's certain things that you can report to different places. So that's part of this. That's the hard part about this. Office of Special Counsel takes care of whistleblower retaliation or prohibited personnel practices, violations of law, gross waste of funds, things like that. So we'd report a lot to them, but we didn't really get too far with that. Then we'd report things to the Office of Inspector General, and then we'd report things to the VA itself and to Congress, and we'd file EEO complaints. That's where you'd report discrimination. So a lot of times, you know, the problem is when you go to Office of Special Counsel, it's for whistleblower retaliation. So if you're a whistleblower and you report that something's going on, in order for it to be retaliation, it has to be a personnel action. So that doesn't cover, like, denting your car, throwing coffee on your car, following you around at break. It covers things like suspensions or them firing you. So there's really no protection when you report things there for the everyday, like, hassles that you have to go through at work. They actually have to do something major for it to rise to the level for the OSC to protect you.
Oh, my gosh. And so how do people even know this? I mean, before you started helping folks there, Kristen, did they just chew them up one at a time? People said, hey, I found some inconsistency, and a big hole opens up and swallows them.
Oh, of course. There were so many people that would just disappear. Smart, educated people. And I'd notice the more educated you were, the more you stood a chance of being dismissed from this place. And if you stood up for yourself, and if you just weren't quiet and sat there and did whatever they told you, you could become a target. And so I noticed things were wrong. So then Ken and I had to figure out the system first and what to report where. And then we learned that a lot of people are in cahoots with each other. So we had to learn, okay, if we report in the same email to the Inspector General, to the OSC, and to the VA Secretary, and to the press, and Congress, and they know that we reported it to all of them, they're all going to watch each other. But if you just report to one place, you know, it doesn't always, you don't really get a response in our, you know, or you'll get a claim number from the OSC, but for them to actually defend you for whistleblower retaliation, there has to be a personnel action taken. Like these Twitter tweets I reported those to the Office of Special Counsel, and they said, because there was no personnel action against you, we're going to dismiss your case. So the act of what she did on Twitter, or allegedly did, didn't matter to them. It mattered to them that nothing happened to me as a result of these. So, like, no one's really policing the actual behaviors. They only care about the end result.
Good grief. So if they don't bring a specific, you know, they don't put you on probation, or they, I don't know, demote you, or if there isn't something big like that, it doesn't count as a personnel action. So just being, what if they put you on the performance improvement program?
They actually have to fire you or suspend you as a result, because they'll argue there's no adverse action yet. It has to be adverse action to you. So right that now they're just figuring they're figuring out if they're going to do adverse action on you. Sometimes they'll give people letters of concern, so you'll go in there and you'll work so hard, you'll do as many compensation claims as you can physically handle that day, and you'll be told you didn't do enough because you didn't get enough points, and we're going to give you a letter of concern. So of course an employee gets all worried, they get these letters, they're like, oh geez, this looks like, and the letter of concern will say you could be put on a performance improvement plan and it could result in termination. Well, when you get one of these letters, the agency will argue this is not an adverse action. We didn't do anything to you. Well, you scared the heck out of this person, and they're not able to even think because they're nervous about their job now. So they do little tactics like that. Well, you have no rights for those. If they issue those things to you, there's really no law that protects you.
And the union doesn't protect you because they're not viewed, at least in this building, as being they're not considered seriously.
No kidding. So they have free run. It's no wonder they do this, honestly. The secretary...
Yeah, and if you go to a lawyer to help you, these lawyers do not want these cases because these cases aren't worth any money unless you're fired, because then there's back pay involved. But if there's no back pay involved, good luck getting a lawyer. That's why we help everybody, because when they go to lawyers, the lawyers say, I need $30,000 down payment, or I'm sorry, there's no money in this case for me. So while you might have an okay case, I don't want to help you. So the poor employee is left hanging with no one to help them.
Even though
rights have been violated.
Sure. And it's interesting because I guess we always like to show what's going on behind the scenes at every level, because on the one hand you have bad employees, but then you also have good ones, and in a lot of cases, the incentive is to keep your head down and not be either, just to be a drone, because it's safer.
Well, it's not if you're trying to make your numbers and you're working hard every day and you're sitting next to someone who's related to somebody, like in my case, I had 300 files, and I'm across the aisle from me is someone who's related to somebody and married to somebody, and they've got one file on their desk, and they don't have any production numbers, even though they're supposed to. But they're protected because they're related to somebody.
and the Inspector General, does that ever come out in the reports?
Never. We've reported it for 7 years. Not only us, multiple people in the office have reported this. And they say because there's no evidence that Lucy Filipov hired her sister. Okay, well, Lucy Filipov's sisters work there, sister-in-law, whatever, some sort of relative. However, probably Lena Giampa hired him because she's the HR person, so that's okay, as long as Lucy doesn't hire him. So the way the law is written is terrible. Same with the whistleblower laws. You know, they want to act like they have great protections for whistleblowers. Anyone who really understands the whistleblower laws realizes you don't want to be a whistleblower, because if you're going to be protected, it's because you got fired or demoted.
Right.
You know, the everyday nonsense you're just expected to put up with.
And the folks in those congressional offices can do a lot with somebody who isn't a fully declared whistleblower, because the information is still valuable. And so as long as they're trustworthy and don't give the person up, they can use that information to try to make the system better. However, without actually at some point declaring or signing up for whatever you want to term it, being officially a whistleblower, if you don't do that, you don't have any protection at all.
And they're usually pretty good at figuring out where the information comes from. So when Ken used to report things, because he was on paid admin leave, they didn't want him in the building when he won his job back. They actually said he was a distraction. So they told him to stay home on paid admin leave. So he basically sat home for a long time and got a paycheck and was not allowed to come to work. So we figured if someone was going to whistleblow, it would be best to be him rather than me because I had to be on the grounds every day. So he used to report things. Well, they knew by the things he was reporting that someone else was involved because he isn't in the office working, so how is he getting this information? So the problem is at that point, even though I hadn't given my name up, they knew that it was coming from somewhere and not Ken. And through process of elimination, they can figure out if you don't give your name up who gave the information.
Oh, I get it.
So yeah. It's dangerous not to give your name up. Like when we did our New York Times article in 2012, that was the best protection we could have had because they asked us, do you want to have a picture? And I mean, to be honest, I didn't really want a picture, but I thought about it and said, yes, I do. I want my face there so that the agency can't say we didn't know she did this. We didn't know that was her. We thought it was someone else because then you're protected.
Sure. So then if they magically fire you for something silly, you can say they retaliated, whereas if you're kind of a secret leak, the retaliation, it's their word against yours, and you're kind of hosed.
Yeah, and then they're going to always say, well, we had no idea you reported anything. You never came out as...
Well, they had no idea that they were doing what you were reporting, so... I mean, at what point does the we didn't know go? It goes all the way to the beginning. Shoot.
We don't agree with. If you're getting paid a GS-15 salary, you shouldn't be allowed to not know what's going on.
Yeah,
in
no.
Every aspect
yeah,
of your
it's
job.
Good enough, if it's good enough for the president, I mean, come on.
Well, they got to wait to see in the media. That's how he finds stuff out.
That's right.
Jeez, please. All right, so now we're angry. So now we have to take a really quick break. We have to take anger breaks. We pretend it's for thanking the sponsors, but really it's just to be angry. So we'll take a little angry break. Be back with you. You're listening to We the People Radio. We have the Philadelphia BA whistleblowers on with us, Ken and Kristen. Find us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Kristen. We had to get bad girls in there.
Yeah, Bob has no respect.
Poor Ken. Ken, just let that one slide. Bob came up with that one. I think it was the last time we talked to... I think it was when we talked to you and Ryan, maybe. Or maybe it was just you. And it was like the very last song. And I'm like, ah, we didn't get to hear her laughing. I felt like I got cheated. Oh my gosh, because I think that's what you told us. You go, I'm the bad girl in the building.
I think I told you I had made it my whole life without ever getting arrested or getting detention.
Right.
And I got to the VA and I became a bad girl.
That's right.
Being honest.
Yeah.
And therein was the problem. So, Ken, what did you used to do before you decided to go be abused by the VA?
I was a law firm administrator in a couple of firms in Florida.
Oh, how distressing. So you dealt with actual law.
Correct. I'm a Temple Law grad, class of 2001.
Oh, my God. So you guys both had law backgrounds, and you go to crazy town where the laws are all optional.
Well, I used to send emails to Allison Hickey. She probably hates me because of the emails, but she never blocked me. But my emails would end up with Lucy Filipov, who was the person who fired me illegally the first time.
All roads lead back to Lucy.
When you talk about whistleblowing, you think you have some kind of protection, but you really don't. And to prove it in court is even more difficult.
Oh. Yeah, I would imagine. I would imagine, because what do they do?
Well, because the court will say, oh, Ken failed his production point. So the agency had a legal reason to fire him, so it wasn't because of whistleblower. So it's very hard because they don't have to be right when they fire you on the points. They just have to have an option for a legal reason, and it seems that it holds up. And the odds of winning these cases are about 1.7% for the employee. So
And we won twice with me.
Oh, so you're a marked man now.
Well, you know, actually, that kind of brings up a good point, because you do wind up marked. I would imagine.
Oh, absolutely. I bet you do.
I would imagine going to try to work someplace else, and it's like, oh, and by the way, my last job, I made their lives a living hell, and I'm a whistleblower.
They know who you are before you walk in the door.
Yeah. You're like,
I'm
that guy.
Yeah.
That's Kristen's problem. If you Google her name, if she was to go look for a job at a law firm, they're going to Google her name, and she's all over.
Yeah. Well,
so, I guess an honest place I might be a marketable employee for, but if it's a place that's slightly corrupt, they probably will never want to hire me because I might tell.
And I've worked at law firms that were corrupt.
Yeah, that's true. I guess anywhere you could, you know, anything that's run by humans, we're going to have the human element. So what would your advice be, Ken? Because we got Kristen's one day. What's your advice to anybody who's at their, especially at a government facility or a government agency, and they're watching all sorts of stuff go on? What would you advise them to do?
I think most employees, me for example, most employees go work at the VA. They want to do the best job they can. They don't want to get targeted. They don't want to, they just want to. I was 51, 52 years old. I had a law degree. I was in the military for years. But you go there with certain expectations, and I thought, okay, I'll go work for the federal government and not the state government, because I thought the federal government wasn't corrupt. For 6 months, I was in this classroom, no windows, barely air conditioned. There were 22 of us, and about half of them had PTSD. We were all veterans, and we were treated horribly. But I was not someone who was rambunctious or wanted to cause trouble. It wasn't until they targeted me that I became a whistleblower, and I wasn't going to tolerate being targeted. But my suggestion is, if you want to become a whistleblower, you better have money in the bank.
Yeah, because bottom line is, you're not getting, well, you're suing them and all that. It took you a year to get your job back?
It was almost a year to the day when I returned to work, and then they put me on, I returned to work, did all this paperwork with Lena, and within 2 hours, they had put me on paid administrative leave.
They did a fingerprint, they gave him a new ID badge, and then they told him to go home.
I bought new clothes to go back to work with, and then they fired me knowingly. They fired me illegally the second time, because they were using production. This is a statute. This is the statute that says you can't use production numbers that are more than a year old. We told them they were using production numbers more than a year old. They went ahead and fired me again. Had to go back to court and won again, basically.
Mm.
Good grief.
So they just keep messing with you until you just give up and go away. That's their strategy.
Or they pay you off. That's another strategy of theirs. If you know too much, they'd rather just have you leave and pay you to be quiet.
Hmm.
Wow, that's lovely. So when you went back, how long did it take? How long did you last that time?
About 2.5 hours.
Oh, literally, it was, and then you got fired again.
Man, you are a problem.
We need bad boys. Do we have a bad boy song? We're obviously going to need that.
They just had to fire him the correct way this time.
Yeah.
He's bad to the bone.
He is. Man. Gosh, we need to get
I'm
that
cut. I forget the look on Robert McKinnon's face expression when I saw him in the hallway and I was going to be fingerprinted or and filled all this paperwork. He had this look on his face. He was the director at the time, now the director in L.A. He had this look on his face like, what the hell are you doing here?
Oh.
And 2.5 hours later, I was banned from the building.
You were banned from the building?
He was allowed to go in the cafeteria, the bank, and the union.
But you couldn't actually do your job?
Correct. Even though I was being paid, and I was a VA employee, I was not allowed to do my job. And I was not under investigation for anything. Never been under investigation for anything. They just did not want me in the building.
So they paid him his full salary to sit at home?
For 5 months, pending a second termination, a second illegal termination.
No kidding. And I know what they do. I know what they did in Oakland quite often was they made the employees who were disabled veterans as well, stressed them out to the point where they were out on medical. And then they wrote them up for being absent without leave, even though they had doctors. The one guy, let's see, his doctor said that he couldn't go back to work, so he I don't know, whatever they do, sent something to the manager, or I don't think he called. I think they sent something in. And the VA fired him for being AWOL because he didn't come in to tell them that he was ill and wouldn't be returning.
Well, in April of 2011, I was diagnosed with a brain mass at Jefferson Hospital. I was in the hospital for about 5 days. Went back to work, told my supervisor what was going on. I had to go away for training in May of 2011 for the whole month. I went away. I got 2 100s on my exams, returned to work, went into the hospital on June 3rd until June 17th at the VA Medical Center in Philadelphia. Returned to work with a doctor's note on my hand. I got there at 6:30 in the morning like I always did. Emailed my supervisor and said, I have my doctor's note. Let me know when you want it. About 12:30, I got an email from her saying, I need to meet you in the conference room and you're allowed union representation. I show up with the union representation and they told me I was being charged AWOL with a doctor's note in my hand.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what they do to people because I took time off from work. And I had sufficient leave time on the books. And I had a major illness, and they just decided that I was a liability.
God, you know, you can't. How would this fly? I mean, honestly, in private industry, this would just never make it.
When I asked my supervisor who gave you authority or recommended that you charge me AWOL, she said Lena Giampa.
The Twitter tweeter.
Is that Lena underscore G148?
I think that's the Twitter twit.
You know, for those of you that don't think Twitter's fun, see, this is yet another reason why you should get up to speed, because there's stuff going on out here. Oh, my God. These guys, I'm sure you have more characters in your cast. Do we have to take another break? What the heck?
You know,
I wasn't even mad yet.
Before we run out of time, though, I want to go through the whole...
Bill wants the psychic medium story.
Yeah, I want the story from start to end. That's icing on the cake.
I told a group of people about that the other day, and they were like, you're kidding.
No.
I would never even have thought of that.
True.
So we'll come back, and we'll talk about the psychic medium experience. You, too, can be abused at the VA and be forced to pay $35 to see a psychic.
Yeah. Bring a dead relative.
Oh, Lord. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? When you were
nice. That was a rare and wonderful obvious choice for our friend Ken. It had to be done. Oh my gosh. So all right. I don't know who's going to tell it, but feel free to just pile on. How did this whole psychic thing come about? Because it is so bizarre and fantastic that, honestly, nobody could make it up.
Well, there was talk around the office that there was going to be this party. And, you know, if you're a high-level manager at the VA, you're not supposed to play favorites or invite subordinates to parties and not invite everybody. So I guess some people were not invited to this party. And from what we've learned from the press and the congressional hearings, and the little information I knew prior to Jeff Miller talking about it, was that there was going to be this party that Lucy Filipov, who was our acting director at the time, was hosting, and Gary Hodge, who was an assistant, or he was the pension center manager at the time, his wife, who is a medium, she calls herself the Angel Whisperer, she was
Angel
going to be
Whisperer.
At the party, and they were going to have readings, and you could come and you could talk to the dead through the Angel Whisperer for $35, or $30, or whatever they were charging. So that's a major ethical violation, because you would be benefiting, you know, from your subordinates, and some people would feel that, you know, maybe they have to pay if they went to this party, because it's their boss, and if they don't pay, you know, what if their boss would get upset with them? And some people didn't even get invited to the party, so it was kind of talk around the office that this party happened, this psychic medium party. So people who worked in the HR department who knew about it, you know, anyone who knows the ethical rules, we have to do training every year on the ethical rules, would know that this would be a major violation. So somehow the inspector general found out about this party and investigated it and issued a report that Lucy Filipov misused her position because she charged subordinates for coming to a psychic medium party at her house. And that's the information we know. Of course, there's rumors that go around, but, you know, of who was there and things like that. But we know that there were definitely people in their chain of command, their subordinate employees that were there.
And so what can you tell us what actually happened at the party?
We don't know, but apparently you went there and you would go have a one-on-one with the psychic.
It was in the kitchen, right? Light.
But you had to pay, right?
You had to pay her $35 and then go sit in the kitchen.
Yep, and then you got this psychic experience, and then they went home. So I guess it was like a psychic reading party.
And nowhere in that reading did she see that she might get busted for doing that.
Well, one of the great things that came out of this was that as a consequence of the investigation, or aside, was that Gary Hodge had signed a form that he was declaring all of his income, and he had not. So the IG went to the Justice Department, but just the Justice for not paying his taxes, and the Justice Department didn't do anything about it, but he's probably in trouble with the IRS, but who knows?
Well, that'd be even better yet.
They're
kind of ruthless.
She didn't see that coming either?
No, she didn't see that coming.
Huh.
The IRS is very psychic, too. They have a way of finding things out.
Well, but bottom line is nothing happened to him with the Department of Justice?
Nope, they decided not to prosecute, and they said they would let, according to the Inspector General's report, they would let the VA handle any administrative action. These people were placed on administrative leave shortly after this report came out, and we haven't seen them since, so we're not sure what their status is.
Oh, Mr. Hodges and Lucy Filipov, they disappeared?
Yes, they disappeared.
Into
the world of administrative leave during this due process period. But we're hoping, because the agency had such problems with due process in the past, we hope that they actually do the right thing this time and get due process right.
Yeah. And follow the law.
Yeah.
Well, it's just incredible that you can have subordinates show up at your house, take money from them for whatever reason, and then send them on their merry way and get away with that. That's just it's an egregious
offense. That's how they've been running that building for years.
And that's only one thing. I mean, if you look at Lucy Filipov's allegations, we know she was the author of the yellow notepad. On the yellow notepad, she said, ignore Rory, who was a congressional staffer. So she's there saying, ignore Congress. She circled two whistleblower names on the top of the yellow notepad, rule and cease. She hosts a party with subordinates that she charges. She signed fast letter memos, the 1310 claim manipulation. They had to be signed by a director or an assistant director. So she would be the third signature on the memo. So with so many different things that were in the spotlight in the news that were happening, it was strange that it took the psychic party to have them actually put on administrative leave.
Well, I guess that's the real kicker, is with all the stuff that's going on, and at the end of the day, all of this screwing around hurts veterans. They're at the receiving end of this whole thing. So, you know, as we're kind of, you know, jacking.
It's all a game. They could care less about veterans. This is my personal opinion.
Obviously.
And being a veteran, I think I have the right to say that. They could care less about veterans. It's all about their prerogatives and their income and protecting that income. And they will mess with anybody to protect that.
Yeah, because I was at a veteran expo yesterday, and I was talking to a guy who's a brigadier general who's got two brothers who can't get through the claim system, and we were talking about one of them, and he said, you know, I just think they're waiting for him to die. And if I had a nickel for every time I hear that, people say it all the time. So they're all kind of arriving at the same conclusion. A lot of those people did read the article in on Philly.com, and I'll actually post a link to the comments on that one article because, you know, people vacillate between being insanely angry and just like hysterically disgusted. Like the one guy, the first guy who commented writes back, "Eeny meeny chili beanie, the spirits are about to speak." The next guy writes, "Are they friendly spirits?" And the next guy says, "Friendly, just listen." But so it starts out there, kind of disintegrates a little bit. One guy says, "Well, I know where everyone was while my paperwork was being ignored. I feel better." Somebody wanted to know if they were, checking to see if any of these people got their health care after they died. It just seems too obvious, you know, that it's all about them and it's not about the people that they're serving. What is your? What does the I care thing stand for? That's their motto?
Yeah, that's the VA's motto.
I get hysterical after the I. I forget what it stands for. I never can remember the rest. I get to integrity and I get all mad. Do you know what it is?
I actually forget as well, because I don't feel like when I walk in the building that I see that kind of stuff. Now there's some awesome workers, employees and even some good managers in our building. It's just that they're the ones that are quiet because they're afraid.
Yeah, and that I could totally believe. Oh, it's their core values. I care about those I've served. I care about my fellow VA employees. I care about choosing the harder right instead of the easier wrong. I care about performing my duties to the best of my ability. This is right on the VA's website.
So they wanted us, after everything happened, they had posters and they had all the workers. Anybody who works there, we signed the poster to reaffirm our I care values. But I mean, I thought, you know, just because you signed the poster doesn't mean you're going to show up and care tomorrow.
So the rank and file folks, how long do they stay? Just in general, how long do people make it in this system?
Some people don't even make it their first year. Two people were just fired last week for performance, and they hadn't even been there a year. And the job takes 2 to 3 years to learn. That's what Congress has testified. The VA has testified before Congress that the job we do takes 2 to 3 years to learn. So some people can't even make it past their first year. So they're forever rehiring people to fill the people they fire. So there's always new people doing the work.
But the guys at the top don't get fired because Bob McDonald say that they, now that they had the ability to fire, they'd fired like 60 people and it turned out they'd fired one?
Yeah. I mean, in our building, a lot of people in management have disappeared or said that for health reasons they're self-demoting, but no one has been fired yet in our building, not one person, from everything that's gone on. And it's been over a year now.
God, what a strange environment to work in. Just bizarre.
Oh my gosh.
Just bizarre.
Yeah, you can't... Ken.
One of the disgraces in that building is the number of EEO complaints that have come out of that building. I have two outstanding EEO complaints, and it takes years to get them through the EEOC. But I believe there are dozens of EEO complaints out of that building, and I know that Jeff Miller has subpoenaed, according to the news reports, has subpoenaed the records for those EEO complaints, but we don't know, because that's another big scandal, is how they've treated people. And when you pay out these big payouts over the years, nobody gets punished.
If they settle a case, when you sign a settlement with them, it says that no one is admitting they are at fault. So they could drag a case out for 2 years, and like Ken's case was settled the night before the hearing. They waste a lot of money on attorney's fees and things like that, and they end up settling because they don't want to get exposed at the end. That's our belief why they settle. But then once you settle, they can't say that they discriminated against somebody because they settled. So I believe that's, you know, if it was a normal company, they would run out of money to pay out settlements. But at the U.S. government, it seems that the money just keeps coming.
Sure, they just keep printing it. So, maybe cutting them off from using this for settlement things I don't know. God. Yeah.
Or moving senior executives for $300,000+. I mean, that's why there's a. I think the VA right now is over budget by $3 billion. That's what I read.
Yeah, and it's not like they don't get enough money. I have not actually looked up the official numbers, but I was told that it's pushing a tied race with the Department of Defense. So for all those people out there that are going, well, if they had the money, they'd be able to do it. Kind of hoping we stuck a fork in that one today.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way.
No. So we have to take one more quick break here before the top of the hour, and we will come right back and finish up with Kristen and Ken. So whatever you guys want to tell us, you'll have about 7 minutes to do that. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
This is for the psychic party.
Oh, psychic music.
Went to the fortune teller, had my fortune read. I didn't know what to tell her, I had a dizzy feeling in my head. Then she took a look at my palm, she said, Sonny, you feel kind of warm. She looked into a crystal ball and said, you're in love. Necessary for my work gets done.
Nice. We love Philadelphia. It's fun that the show airs in Philadelphia and the Jersey Shore. And you guys live there, so your neighbors and friends will be able to hear you tomorrow at 1 if they're not at work. So they might be on leave because they got persecuted by their employer. good grief. Okay, so what do you guys want to leave us with from Crazy Town?
Well, we think that this place could be a lot better if they made wise hiring choices and applied by the merit system like it's supposed to be. Because a big problem, we think, in a lot of these facilities is the way that they hire and who they choose to hire and how they treat people once they're there so that all the good people leave. If you don't leave and stay, you have to be on either a mission or there has to be a reason that you stayed, because most people don't want to put up with abuse like this forever.
Yeah, no, they don't. And I know you don't have the ability to have any kind of a percentage, but how often is this happening? You know, how many people are tangled up in this mess? I know you had told us before you work with like 19 other employees or something, Kristen.
Yeah, and I mean, every month more people realize that something's wrong and they want to stand up for themselves. So, I mean, we have, I would say, a great percentage of the building, and you know, a lot of people don't want their names released or want to know that they're involved because they're nervous for things that have happened to Ken or I. They don't want that to happen to them, but I would say there's more people on board now than not on board, and people do want to see a change. So we're hoping that the people in charge can do the right thing and get rid of the bad apples so that we can fix Philadelphia.
Well, we certainly hope you do, because you guys serve. Give us a claim count. We didn't actually talk about that. How many veteran claims at any given time are rolling through there? Do you have any idea?
Honestly, I don't know.
Top secret information.
Yeah. yeah, that'd blow the lid off the whole gig. But, I mean, it's thousands. Tens of thousands? Millions? Like, what's your...
I honestly have no idea. We get that's another sad thing. I mean, they send that kind of stuff out to us every morning, an email. But some people who work there, they don't even have time to read their emails because they know they have to log in immediately and grind out these cases, or they'll have to sleep there before they get their work done. So, to be honest, the numbers are probably sitting in my email box, but if you work at the VA and you want to do a good job, you don't really have time to read that stuff.
Okay. I was just curious because it's a big place. It's a big place. It has, because Oakland, Oakland covers most of, well, all of Northern California, far Northern California. Then there's an office in L.A. and one in San Diego. So it's everything that isn't L.A. or San Diego. It's a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But
most of the newspaper articles say that our office services over 800,000 veterans.
There you go.
So I don't know where that number comes from, but that's what we read a lot in the press.
Okay. And see, the guys out here covering that kind of territory in a really big state, and they have 300 employees at the benefits office and their satellite office. So they run about 300 people. So you guys are three times that easily.
And it could be a great job. You know, like a lot of things you hear in the news are negative about the place, but to me it's a rewarding job. You get to help veterans, and I've gotten to help other employees, you know, fight for their rights. So it's a rewarding experience, but it doesn't have to be such a toxic place. It doesn't have to be so negative.
Well, because let's face it, all this stuff is bizarre and unnecessary and could easily be handled with decent management.
For sure.
I mean, none of this...
I mean, I've never worked anywhere else in my life where these things have happened.
Exactly. I mean, you don't have to go take a class to realize that, you know, you shouldn't be doing any of these things. Just so you know, we have veterans online chatting with us here Sunday afternoon, and they said... kudos to Kristen and Ken, real troopers. So you guys are much appreciated. And you're good storytellers, too. That's like an added bonus. We totally love having you on. We can goof off with the music a little bit. And it isn't all just facts and figures. We get a little of the inside track. So thank you very much.
Really appreciate
Thanks
you guys coming
veterans.
On.
Thank you for your service to all the veterans, because without them,
yeah.
we wouldn't have half the rates we have, and we wouldn't have jobs.
Exactly. We'd be nowhere. And they deserve much better than they're getting. And so even though we, you know, we tried to do this with a little humor today, this is a super serious problem, and we're definitely going to keep on it. So, Kristen and Ken, thanks a million. Bill and Bob, see you next week. You're listening to We the People Radio.
Bye.
Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Send it to a friend.